Well, good morning, Honey Ridge family, and any others that might be listening to this devotion this morning. Well, today in our study, we're going to look at a passage in James from verses 1 to verse 6. Now, as we review the various things that we've spoken about in James, if there's something that we've come to understand very clearly, as we've studied this book, it's James's tendency to speak straight and direct and not to sugarcoat his message. Well, today's message is no exception. In fact, the heading to the passage in the NIV is warning to rich oppressors. Now, that's very strong language which James uses. By definition, an oppressor is someone who burdens another with cruel or unjust impositions or restraints, or someone who treats people in an unfair and cruel way and prevents them from having opportunities and freedom. So you see, right up front, we know that this is not going to be a warm and fuzzy message which James wants to get across. And again, James just does not disappoint. He begins at verse 1 with, "Come now, you rich," or some versions say, "Now listen, you rich people." James wants us to lean right in and pay special attention to what he's about to say. Okay? James, you have our attention. Now, what comes next? Well, he says, "Weep and wail for the miseries that are coming upon you." Now, this is getting really uncomfortable. Does this mean that the Bible is against any form of materialism or wealth? And the minute that we've accumulated anything that could resemble riches or wealth, we stand condemned before God? Well, of course not. Now, the danger is that as soon as we hear a message that the Bible is not against us having riches, it's against us misusing our riches, we somehow relax, we switch off, and we become complacent because we all like to think that we do not misuse or abuse what God has blessed us with materially. We like to think that we are responsible with our wealth. We rationalize that God is surely not talking to us, but rather to the extreme types we can quickly identify who openly mistreat others for their own selfish gain. But you see, by doing this, we miss the subtle and the not so subtle root causes of how our riches and wealth can trip us up if we don't know what the dangers are and where the landmines are situated in the ground over which we must walk in life. So let's lean in and see for ourselves what James is saying to each of us at Honey Ridge in 2020. Verse 2 of chapter 5 says, "Your wealth has rotted, and moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire." Now, why is this so? Why have the very things which we so quickly place our confidence, our identity, our motivation fade away and become worthless and can even sometimes cause our downfall? Well, the first reason is to be found in the second part of verse 3, where James says, "You have hoarded wealth in the last days." So folks, here is the first reason for James' stern warning to us about riches. We have a tendency to hoard wealth. Now, if you look at a number of passages in Scripture, you'll see that Scripture never tells us that we should not save money. It urges us to be wise, and it's wise to give thought to the future and to plan prudently for it. But you see, hoarding takes place when we continue to accumulate above and beyond that which is necessary. So I must pause here and ask you, as I ask myself, are you open-handed or closed-handed with your money? Are you generous or stingy with what you have? Would others describe you as a cheerful giver or a reluctant provider? How do you respond to the growing needs you see all around you with the COVID-19 pandemic and the devastating effects that it's having on people's lives and on our society? You see, I think James is encouraging us not to become hoarders with our wealth. His warning is also very clear in that if we don't correct our sinful behavior when it comes to how we handle our riches, the misery James foretold will come upon us. Now, we surely can't read James' words without thinking of Jesus' parable of the rich fool, which is found in Luke chapter 12 at verse 13. A farmer raised such a huge crop that he didn't have enough room to store the harvest. So he decided to pull down his old barns and build larger ones. Finally, the project was complete. The larger barns had been built and the crop had been stored in the barns. The man thought he had made it and said to himself, "You have made many good things, laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry." That's in verse 19. And then comes the stinging, harsh, final pronouncement on his life. God said to him, "You fool, this very night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be for which you have provided?" In wrapping up the story, Jesus left no room for doubt about its meaning. So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. That's Luke 12, verse 21. See, there is then a heavy price tag indeed attached to the misuse of wealth. Now, the second reason for James' stern warning is to be found in verse 4. Verse 4 says, "Look, the wages you failed to pay the workers who mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty." Here we are warned about depriving workers of their rightful wages. This warning speaks to any actions on our part that take advantage of others who have given us something, such as time, material, labor, anything really, and we don't reciprocate on our part of the deal. We underpay or don't pay at all. We avoid our debts and take advantage of a system which makes it easy to get away without paying others. The Old Testament is littered with warnings about fraudulent treatment of workers. Here's just a few of them. Leviticus 19 verse 13 says, "Do not defraud or rob your neighbor." Deuteronomy 24 verse 14 to 15 says, "Pay them their wages each day before sunset, because they are poor and are counting on it. Otherwise, they may cry out to the Lord against you, and you will be guilty of sin." And then how about Proverbs 3 verse 27 to 28? "Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due, when it is in your power to act. Do not say to your neighbor, 'Come back tomorrow and I'll give it to you,' when you already have it with you." So as we think about the words of those passages, let's just pause again and ask the searching, uncomfortable questions of each other. Do you pay a fair wage to those who work for you? Do you pay your debts when they are due? Is it a priority for you to compensate others fairly for what they have done for you? Do others not trust your word as your bond? These are really searching and uncomfortable questions that we need to wrestle with. So then the third reason for James' stern warning is in verse 5, when he warns about wallowing in luxury and self-indulgence. Verse 5 says, "You have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fatted yourselves in the day of slaughter." Here James is talking about people who use their wealth to pamper themselves. Their needs are all around them. These needs could easily be alleviated by some act of generosity, but these people are just oblivious to the needs which are around them. They think only of themselves and their comfort, and they go on buying and buying. You see, James has a devastating word for all such people. They are fattening themselves for God's judgment. as a calf eats and eats without realizing that it is fattening itself for the day of slaughter, so the pampered gorge themselves without realizing that there is a day of slaughter, or in this context, a day of judgment. In our time for self-reflection on this warning, we must ask ourselves the following questions. Do we regularly spend time, money, and effort on self-indulgent activities, oblivious to the needs of others? Now notice that my question was whether we regularly spend time or money on self-indulgent activities. James is not speaking to those times when we choose to spoil ourselves on something, but when it becomes a habit and we regularly spend time and effort and money on self-indulgent things at the cost of the needs of others, then that's what James is warning us about. Another question we can ask is, would we rather benefit ourselves before benefiting others? Here's a good question which really tests our thoughts at a very practical level. How many pairs of shoes do we own? How much money do we get to spend on our hobbies? These are all things which, if we're honest with ourselves, James is asking us to wrestle with. A fourth and final reason for James' warning, which he mentions, is murdering of the innocent in verse 6. Verse 6 reads, "You have condemned and murdered the innocent one who was not opposing you." Now, James is obviously not speaking here about the act of physical murder. No, he has something far more subtle in mind, but just as deadly. The theologian Kent Hughes explains this verse this way when he says, James is referring to judicial murder, primarily referring to taking away the means of making a living. The landed gentry controlled the courts. The poor could not oppose them because they had no way to use the system and thus were helpless. As I thought about this warning, I reflected on my career as an attorney, and I've seen it over and over again of how those who have, by exploitation and manipulation, have driven into submission those who have not. It stirs up in me a deep anger for the advantage that one would take over another just because he can. Oh, that God would help us never to be of a mindset that ever finds this behavior acceptable or normal. And so, brothers and sisters, it's my prayer for you today, as it is for myself, that we will take to heart the stern warning that James brings to us out of love. It's also no coincidence that with the COVID-19 pandemic, we are currently living out in everyday life the means to both put into practice what we have learned today and to take God at his word concerning the way we use our wealth and our money in relation to all the needs around us. It's my prayer that, like the psalmist, we would truly be able to say in Psalm 20, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God." Pray that God would bless you today as you reflect on these words. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the searchlight of your word, which you place on our lives, which calls us and compels us to look deeply into the way that we deal with our money and with our wealth and the things that you've blessed us with. Oh Father, forgive us when we have been dissatisfied, when we have been self-indulgent, when we've been selfish, when we've just simply not adhered to what we know to be right. Lord, won't you cleanse us from those things which cause you displeasure? Won't you use us as your instruments to be effective in a society that needs you? And Lord, as important as it is to share our material possessions and wealth with others, more important, Lord, is that we would share the gospel of Jesus Christ with the hurting and a lost world. Give us the courage to do this, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, God bless you today.